All right, everybody, thanks for joining us. Quick heads up and we'll get started. Right now, questions and comments, calls, everything kind of light. So this is your chance. Normally on Wednesdays, even if we go 3 hours, I don't get to all the questions. Today, we can only go two. We've got another event right after the show today. So the sooner you jump in and press one on your phone, the better the odds that you'll get through. So if you have a question, a comment, a topic, anything you want to talk about, press one. We'll get to you and I'll keep you updated. Let's get started.
Your money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry. This is Trucking Business and Beyond, the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. Today is Destination Health. My co-host is Kim Cockerham, and this is the show where we talk about everything health. We'll take your calls and answer your questions about diet, nutrition, fitness, training, supplements, disease, injury, drugs, you name it. We'll talk about it. And of course, we'll wrap it all around that trucking lifestyle. Kim and I have a goal. We want to make truck drivers the healthiest people in the country. I know that's a big goal, but we can do it. And we're glad you're along with us on this journey. So, Kim, it's that time of the week again. Welcome back.
It sure is. Thanks, Kevin. Glad to be here with everyone.
Yeah, so this is a really busy week for me. I have obviously the normal shows like we always do. Later on today, I have an NTA Facebook Live event that I'm going to be doing. I'm excited about that. Facebook kind of drives me a little crazy. I can only have... Yeah. 5,000 friends, which might sound like a lot, but being on the air, you know, I have 5,000 more requests that I can't ever accept. And then when I do an event, they have a feature where you can invite your friends to the event. It used to be that if I just wanted to invite all my friends, all I had to do was click one button and it would invite all my friends. Now, I have 5,000 friends. You have to go through and individually click each one that you want to invite. That's a change they made. Then today, I was all set to sit down and do that as long as it takes. And I got to 300 and it said, sorry, that's all the friends you're allowed to invite.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. What's the point in having events, 5,000 friends, if I can't invite them? I mean, what's the harm in letting me invite them? Let the other user block invites if they want to. If my, you know, invitations are annoying, then just let people block them if they want. But that's Facebook. Yeah. What are you going to do?
Shake your head.
So I've got that today. Later, after I get done with that, I've got to drive a couple hours down to get the pick up the coach because this weekend we'll be leaving for Louisville. And on Friday, I'm going to be doing another Facebook Live event, which is kind of a preview of all the seminars I'll be doing at Louisville this year.
Oh, that's great. That'll be exciting. I can't wait for the one today.
Yeah, that should be fun. Actually doing that with the NTA Down Under, the Australian chapter of the NTA. So that's kind of exciting. When we do it here, will be 1 o'clock in the afternoon Pacific time where I am. It'll be 7 o'clock in the morning the next day in Australia. I'm doing it on Wednesday afternoon in Oregon. It'll be Thursday morning in Australia.
So it'll be interesting. It just made me think of it too. Like what commonalities all the NTPs and stuff over there deal with compared to here, if the, you know, what the difference is, what the number one things are compared with ours, so forth.
You know, it's interesting. I did some research on that just because I wanted to be prepared, and that's what I do. If we were to take all the other countries in the world and look at the medical statistics, I can't find another country that mirrors the U.S. closer than Australia. They're almost identical.
In a good way or bad way?
No. In a bad way, the rates of obesity, rates of type 2 diabetes, rates of heart disease, rates of high blood pressure, all the lifestyle diseases we deal with. Clearly, that's starting to happen all over the world. England is pretty much just as bad as the rest of us. But U.S. and Australia certainly are way at the top of the list for all those problems.
Okay, maybe that's why, you know, that's why the need of the NTA is growing then over there, you know, to address those.
Yeah, so we certainly will have those issues in common. So it's interesting. I'm not going to really be talking about health or nutrition. I'm going to be talking about my experience with the NTA.
Okay.
Yeah, and then answer questions. So at the end, any questions that people want to ask, I can answer those. So because of all the things I had going on this week, I really, all that was just leading up to the fact that I didn't bring any topic today.
Yeah, and I'm always late to the party a lot of times. And I think when I text you about a half hour before, hey, Kevin, what do you want to talk about? Yeah. And it's just because things are, and it's wonderfully busy and stuff, but you know, and that's why, you know, we love all the questions and it steers what we're doing and stuff. But yeah, I want to get a little bit more proactive and we'll help you, especially when this kind of week you have.
Yeah. So I've got a couple things we can talk about. Then we'll get to calls and questions because we always have plenty of those. The one thing I've just been watching lately and absolutely loving it is I get, whether it's emails, text messages, Facebook messages, Facebook posts, just almost overwhelmed with the results people are getting. I've seen so many good stories this week of people losing incredible amounts of weight, getting off multiple 4 and 5 and 6 prescription medications, blood pressures normalized, blood sugars under control. It is just, you know, and I say this a lot, you and I know the system works. We know this stuff works. But to see it over and over and over, and to see people that have been struggling with these things for sometimes decades, and then they take control and they're fixing it, and the results are just amazing.
Yeah, and I hope that gives people hope because, and you hit it on the nose, some people are for decades because all of us come to the plate with, you know, a whole different background in life and issues and stuff like that. And some people, and I know some people will say that, you know, they hear this on the radio that so-and-so is losing the weight and the energy and they're not experiencing the same thing. But we're here to say too, that all the people that are experiencing it too, aren't usually a straight line. So I just hope that gives people hope to stick with this because the alternative, you don't want to go backwards. You don't want to go back to where you are, but sometimes, you know, you do get frustrated. But just stick with it because we truly are seeing just such wonderful, wonderful changes.
Yeah, we have our free NutriQ. So it's a process where if they're interested, they can go to the website, sign up. We send them a link in an email to a survey that's online. They answer questions. It's a lot of questions. I will tell people, be prepared. It's a lot of questions, but it's easy. All you have to do is check a box. So we ask you a question, give you some options. You check the box, and we're looking at symptoms. And it's really interesting when you first go through the NutriQ, you wonder, why do they ask that question? So odd. But the thing about the NutriQ, I will tell people, every single question, everything on there, and there's a lot of them, correlate to a very specific issue. So we're asking every question for a reason. And then from all of the answers, we're able to identify which systems of the body have the most significant problems. And then we can prioritize and we can work through system by system. And what we're seeing, and you and I are doing a lot of these, what we're seeing is I am just so impressed at how well this system works. The NTA has just done an amazing job with this. And when we see a problem, we identify a priority, we target it with some dietary changes and some supplements, and it gets better. And then we move on to the next one. And it's so satisfying to just see that it works.
Yeah, and people, and I think you posted that last week of somebody that just had incredible results. And And it, you know what, and it, the highway is so cool where, you know, that focus of the 30 days is manageable, you know. And thank goodness a lot of people are starting this that have already done a lot of work already. And then, you know, we're either at the beginning stages with some people or, you know, lessons where we're farther down their journey and they know they just need something a little bit more. And that person got off all supplements, the one you posted on Facebook. And, you know, and that's what our goal is. And but they their diet's so in line, they work on lifestyle and changing things like that. And then you see the results.
Yeah. And you know, you touched on something there about getting off the supplements, which is always our goal. We use supplements like a tool, the same way we use a therapeutic diet. It's to solve a specific problem. And then once we reach a certain goal or solve the problem, then we don't need the therapeutic diet anymore. We don't need the supplements anymore. There are some exceptions to that, but it's really interesting. And I experienced this when I first started taking the digestive supplements. It made a huge difference in my digestion. And then after about 2, maybe 3 months, I was able to stop them and still see the same results. And I've been off them now for months and digestion is fine. So if we get the diet right and we use the supplements to fix the problem, then the body will maintain that. As long as we keep the diet right, and it's really satisfying to see that people are getting better and already we're able to stop some of the supplements. So let's get to a break. When we come back, we'll get right to your calls and questions. Stick around. Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Destination Health. Kim is here with me. Kim, what do you say we get to some phone calls?
That sounds great.
All right, let's do that. Let's start off in D.C. Matt, welcome to the program.
Well, good afternoon, Kim and Kevin.
Hey there.
I'm actually standing outside the White House here.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, hey, ask President Trump about his tax returns.
You don't have a sign or anything. Yeah. You're not marching.
No, I did walk by a few blocks away. There is a Trump, I believe it's International Plaza or something. There's some people protesting over there. They're holding signs about the EPA or something, but I didn't even go see what they're up to.
Yeah.
But, just since you brought it up, I can't help myself. $38 million. If anybody's wondering what that number is, it's how much one person paid in income tax. That's insanity. So everybody wanted to see his returns. They finally saw one of them. And he paid $38 million. The funny thing is, all I hear the mainstream media talking about is the big deductions he took. He took $105 million in business losses and $40 million in charity. That's what they want to talk about, not the $38 million he paid in taxes. Even with all those deductions, he still – I did the math, by the way. He paid more in tax or about the same amount. It would take almost 4,000 average Americans combined to come up with the amount of tax one person paid. All right, that's my rant.
I like
we opened
the
door.
Yeah. But anyway,
right.
Yeah, I'm just What's out it? Here walking around today. About a month ago, I started taking walking serious, and today is the perfect example that some days the weather doesn't want to cooperate. It's 27 degrees here, 22 mile an hour winds, a little miserable out on the sidewalk, out in the open.
I'll bet.
But I'll do it, and I did make 10,000 steps average for the whole month. I started, I think it was the 13th of February. And yeah, a couple 16 and so degree days up in Minnesota or North Dakota, and rain and hot and muggy weather down in Florida. But whatever it is, I've been out there.
There you go.
That's really cool because you set that goal, and so you just, that made you make it happen every day, huh?
Yeah, actually, it was the first conference call I had with the medical sharing health coach that they appointed me, and because I gave my Fitbit away. I had a Fitbit for a couple of years, and my niece wanted one, so I gave it to her for Christmas. But talking to the health coach, the health app on the iPhone actually has been tracking the whole time anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even know it.
Yeah.
I've never looked at it.
Yeah.
So
interesting.
But yeah, that was one of the things, you know, diet I'd already been working on, and she had talked to me about activity and just trying to get the 10,000 steps a day. And my goal for the next month is to get it to 12,000 average per day.
You know,
I'll do that pretty easy.
I think there's a good lesson in there too. One of the things I've found is that a lot of people, myself included, you know, you need to get more active. You know, you need to work out. You need to do something. And I think sometimes we make too big of a deal out of it. Like, we have to have this schedule and we have to know exactly what we're going to do. And we're going to work out for this many minutes or whatever it might be. And we got to get the right clothes. And many times we do that. And then one thing gets in the way and we stop. And instead, I think if people would just think, don't make a big deal out of this. Just every day, think, what could I do to be a little more active? Whether it's parking further away, walking a longer way to get somewhere. There's lots of ways throughout the day. You know, if you take your dog for two walks a day, take him for three. Would anything to just add a little more activity? If there's something you do that's maybe automatic, maybe you have a hydraulic log splitter, spend one day doing it with an axe. You know, take the stairs instead of the elevator. And the other thing I would say is, instead of trying to make exercise the activity itself, like we got to go to the gym and do this much on a treadmill or an elliptical or lift weights, find activities or sports that are fun that you want to go do and keep you moving. And we don't have to make such a big deal about formal exercise, because that doesn't always work for a lot of people. And I think what you're doing is just saying, I'm not on the road. I need to remember I need to stop. I'm going to walk a little further. And I think that works better.
Oh, yeah, because if you're me personally, I've averaged just over 3 miles an hour. I mean, just casual walking, not even fast paced or nothing. So, you know, 20 minutes at a time, a couple times a day, you know, that's a mile every time.
Yeah.
And, you know, 10,000, I'm right in there, the, you know, like the Fitbit and different ones, they have a pace schedule, and I'm almost right there at their average of 2,000 steps is 1 mile. So 10,000 steps is 5 miles a day. And if you break that out between five different times a day, it's only 20 minutes a time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not bad at all. And, you know, I've heard from people, and I know you've heard this, that there's no place to walk when you're out on the road. And I think the only thing they're trying to do is walk out of a truck stop. And I'll tell you, in most places, that's difficult. Very few times can I find a good way or a good place to walk at a truck stop. Getting out of the parking lot itself is dangerous. And usually when you get out of the parking lot, there's nowhere to go anyway. But that doesn't mean there aren't lots of places to walk. Because when I'm on the road, I'm no different than you guys. I'm about to hit the road. I'll be 70-some feet long and just about the same weight. I have all the same parking issues. And I always find some place to walk. If you put your mind to it and start looking, it's not that hard.
Yeah. Actually, I had a funny little incident yesterday. I use, I don't remember the name of it, but Trail Link or something like that. It's a lot of the rail trails. It's an app on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
And I found one that I wanted to go to, and, you know, you get find out where it's at, and then I go to the satellite Google and, you know, look at for parking around there anywhere close, and the trail went by an old industrial area. It looked abandoned. I'm like, oh, well, I can go park in one of them parking lots and get down there, and, of course, it's a dead-end road that's closed.
Yeah.
And people have been dumping trash there, so I'm just parking on the side of the road and getting ready to go. Police officer pulls up, wants to know what I'm doing. And I told him I'm going for a walk. He's like, I've never seen a semi come back here. But.
You know, one of the things I found that works almost every time is it seems to me like almost every rest area I have ever checked, if you kind of walk to the backside of the rest area, there's almost always a country road that you can get to. To a rest area, and you can almost always walk out like the backside of the rest area, and usually on a country road with very little traffic and lots of places to go walk.
Yeah, and hey, there's there's on Facebook, there's a group you guys should all go. What's it called? Trucker Trails, and that's what they do. They post where you can park a truck and you can cycle, run, walk, or something too. People will post maps or different, you know, places to go near truck stops or exits.
Yeah, good stuff.
Well, it's like here. This is my third or fourth time walking around the DC area. We got a little hiding spot. I don't want to make it public because if too many trucks came in there, it'd be a problem. But it's about 3 miles away here from the White House, so real nice, easy distance to walk and then turn around and go back.
There you go. Good stuff. All right. Well, good talking to you. Let's get out there and just get moving. Doesn't have to be a big deal. Just look for ways to get a little more active every day. Let's go to Kentucky. Larry, welcome to the program. Yeah, Larry, I'm not. Ooh, that was bad. We'll try to come back and see what we can do there. Let's go to Illinois. Nathan, welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. What's on your mind today?
Well, I've had some strokes, and they're wanting me to take warfarin. Is there anything else I could take other than the warfarin?
Well, warfarin's a blood thinner, and that is common after a heart attack or a stroke that they put people on blood thinners, and you'll be on it the rest of your life, and they do cause issues. The thing here is this is something I would want addressed by a naturopath or somebody or a functional medicine doctor, somebody with medical credentials, and have them look at the severity. And there are other options for thinning the blood and reducing the plaques that are in the arteries, long-term diet. But I certainly don't want to recommend you just stop taking that without the advice of somebody with medical credentials. So let me get to a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about that a little more. Stick around. Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Destination Health. Kim's here with me. We're talking with Nathan in Illinois. So, Nathan, this is a good time to talk about this topic. We've talked about it before, but I always like to remind people we're going to have to hear this a lot. We've all been brought up and we've all been living with a certain mindset around health or disease or symptoms. And our mindset, and it's so ingrained in all of us, that this is how we all think now. We have a symptom or a problem or whatever it might be, and we go to a doctor and he gives us a prescription and we take it. That's our mindset. And the mindset we need to shift into, the traditional medical community is not designed in any way to keep us healthy. They don't even really address health. They address disease. It's almost the exact opposite. You have a disease or a symptom or a syndrome or whatever they want to call it today, and the medical community identifies it and gives you a drug or uses surgery. That's the mindset we're used to. Nutritional therapy doesn't deal with disease or symptoms or syndromes, or we focus on health. We just want to get your diet, your lifestyle right, and maybe some targeted supplements to fix some things. But ultimately, we just want you to be eating and living right so that you're healthy and free from disease. So what we don't do is address very specific symptoms like that. So the medical community is saying you have blockage. And because of the blockage, the thinner your blood is, the less likely you are to have another stroke or a heart attack. So they'll put you on a drug, but it doesn't really solve the problem. It doesn't address why you had the plaque buildup in the first place. It doesn't address anything to get rid of the plaque buildup. All it does is create thinner blood so that you're less likely. Doesn't mean you won't have a stroke or heart attack. You'll be a little less likely, but you also have to deal with all the side effects of the drug itself. Having said all that, again, we wouldn't, if you were to work with us directly, we wouldn't address this, and I wouldn't even look for anything to replace the warfarin yet. We would just start working on diet and lifestyle to get you healthier overall. And as you were to do that, it's likely that the plaque deposits themselves could clean up over time, and then the blood thinner wouldn't be needed. But to address the issue of, do you absolutely have to take that blood thinner or not, you might not have to. But again, I'm not going to make that determination. That should be determined by somebody who has medical credentials. But I would highly recommend you get that second opinion from somebody who has medical credentials but believes in a more natural approach, like a functional medicine doctor or a naturopath. Does that all make sense?
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
and,
so...
I'm also going to...
Oh, I'm sorry. I cut you off too quick there. Go ahead.
Well, I'm gonna do the... I'm trying to be in ketosis, and I'm going to take the free from your website.
Yeah, the NutriQ. Okay, good.
Yeah.
That'll help identify. You're welcome. That'll identify the systems in the body, and that's what we use to guide us. But again, we're not addressing specific symptoms. Let's go back and see if Larry's ready. Larry, you ready?
Yes, I am.
Well, you still sound really bad. Try again.
Yeah,
Larry. Bridget, if you're listening, why don't we hang up on Larry? Grab his phone number first, Bridget, and call him back and see if we can get that line fixed. Let's go to Alabama. Jessica, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. How are you guys today?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, we are at home, and while we were at home, then went ahead and finally got the NutriQ done, the analysis done. And what was funny is in our mail, there was a thing trying to sell death benefit insurance, or not death benefit insurance, but cemetery funeral arrangement things. And when we got back the NutriQ, then Chris looked at it and he said, well, maybe they actually got in touch with the cemetery and that's the reason why they sent us that, is because we just need to go ahead and arrange for your burial. He said the only thing that's not all, you know, off the charts is the men only, and thank goodness that's not off the charts, because if so, then there'd really be something wrong.
Well, means you can only improve, Jessica. Only improve now.
That's right. Things can only get better.
Well, Jessica, there's no way we could look at it. You scored really high on everything. You're an overachiever.
There we go. I'm getting ready to actually order everything so that we can actually go, you know, leave and go out on the road, and then we'll be actually going up to the truck show. So we'll see you up there next week. In trying to do that, I guess Chris never got his thing for the NutriQ, and I'm just trying to figure out, guesstimate how much we will probably need. Would it be safe for me to just kind of double everything that is on here for me to take and think that that's probably he would be covered, or no?
Well,
guys are chatting. I'll go look for it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you could also grab the client recommendations for the supplements. Because, Jessica, one of the things I'll tell you, is that based on your scores, and I haven't seen it yet, but my guess is they're going to be recommending a lot of supplements. And what I would do, don't order them all. Like, I really prefer working on one issue at a time. We tend to have a whole lot more luck or success. It's not luck. When we work on one at a time for about 30 days each. Otherwise, when you've got somebody that's showing high priorities in a lot of areas, you can be working on all of them and something will get worse. It's very common. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to figure out why it got worse if you're doing too many things at once. So I always cringe a little bit when I see a practitioner, you know, giving out 12 different supplements all at the same time. I think it can lead to a lot of confusion. So what we tend to do, and this will answer your question, what we tend to do is prioritize and work. If you look at that chart, we tend to work from left to right. We work on digestion first. And here's the good news. Everybody needs help with digestion. So whatever supplements for digestion you need, Chris would need as well. So yeah, you could just double those. And what will happen is after 30 to 60 days or so of working on digestion, then what we recommend is take the NutriQ again and let's make sure we've made improvements there. Then we would move on to say blood sugar handling and essential fatty acids. And then that may be 30 or 60 days. Then we would move on to adrenals and pituitary and thyroid. So we kind of work left to right. But I just find that it's a lot less confusing and you run into fewer problems if you take these things one step at a time in roughly 30 to 60 day increments.
Okay.
So I'm going to look here at the recommendations. Let me see real quick. So the Beta Plus is the gallbladder support, and that's for somebody without a gallbladder. But we always recommend somebody with a gallbladder start with that one and do that for 30 or 60 days because it works great for even people with a gallbladder. I would recommend the Hydrazyme. That's going to be the stomach acid and digestive enzymes. And
so the Hydrazyme, not the Betaine plus HP?
Correct. I use the Hydrazyme. We're finding that the betaine is a stronger form of stomach acid, but we're finding that more people respond better to the Hydrazyme. It's got less hydrochloric acid, but it has other digestive enzymes along with it. And we're just finding that people are responding better most of the time to the Hydrazyme. And if you wanted to, you could throw in the Glucobalance. So sometimes we will work on digestion and one other thing if you wanted to. So if you wanted to throw in the Glucobalance and start working on blood sugar control, we could do that as well. Let me get to a break. We'll come back. We'll make sure we've got this one taken care of. Jessica, Chris has not verified his email yet. That's why you don't have results back from the NutriQ. So after the show, we'll get with you, make sure we get that taken care of. Stick around. We'll be right back with more stuff. Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Destination Health. Kim is here with me, and we were talking with Jessica in Alabama. So, Jessica, the good news, you'll both need to work on digestion. I haven't seen Chris's yet. My guess is blood sugar certainly wouldn't hurt to address it. So you could double up those three supplements, and that'll get you through the next 30 to 60 days. Then we'd move on to the next priority.
Okay. And then probiotics. From what I understand, I mean, we have to make sure that we're taking that in order to be able to digest everything correctly as well. So that's the Histoplex AB. Is that correct?
No, it would be. Let me go back and look. Was the Biodolph on there, Kim? Do you remember?
I don't see it on there. But the Histoplex AB was on there. And when that looked
too. You know, Jessica, okay. So it's like Kevin saying, you know, like it's doing the digestion first and stuff like that, you know, addressing that. So, you know, maybe next time you come in, if that system isn't responding, you know, like if it doesn't improve with the digestion improving, it might end up popping up on that, but it's dealing with your digestion first.
Yeah. So for the probiotics, when you're in the store, it's called Biodolph 7. That's the probiotic.
Okay.
That one we recommend to everybody. I mean, everybody needs a probiotic. So that one, same thing. And that's one I just never stop taking. I will cycle through different probiotics, but I won't stop taking them. I stay on probiotics all the time.
Okay. And then, I mean, Chris was saying that we don't need to take a multivitamin. So, I mean, even the ones that are made by Biotics, don't worry about getting it.
Now, there are times when we will use a targeted multivitamin from Biotics, but not very often. Normally we find that people that are committed to this are changing their diet enough, for one thing, that it's just not necessary. And I'm not a big fan of multivitamins. Like I say, Biotics has some more targeted multivitamins. They're not trying to do everything like most of the commercial brands do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not real big unless we absolutely see that we fix digestion and we still keep seeing problems with vitamin and mineral needs and we're not able to fix it with diet, then we might recommend one, but it's pretty rare.
Okay. And then the only other question that I have and that I've been meaning to ask you for quite some time is, you've talked about having targeted protocols for different circumstances. Is there a protocol for cysts such as syringomyelia? Cysts within the syrinxes in your back, in your spinal cord.
Not that I am aware of, but there are lots of protocols available. That would be one that the odds of me coming across it randomly would probably be pretty slim. If you do this, just send us a quick email to support@letstruck so I don't forget this. I'll go research it. There may be a protocol. There may be some things we could do to address that. I just haven't come across those.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So I won't forget. I will go look at that. All right. I think we've got Larry back. Larry, let's try again.
Yes, sir, Kevin.
There we go.
Any better?
Much, much better. You don't sound like an alien anymore.
Well, I was unloading inside a metal building, and there were fans running and everything else, and I was quite sure it would not work.
Well, now we got you. What can we help you with?
Well, I've got all kinds of stuff, Kevin. I filled out the new queue here, I guess it was the 27th of February, and just before I received the order that I placed, I was at a wrestling tournament, and sitting on the bleachers in Mansfield, Ohio, towards the end of the tournament, my left knee started getting sore, just above the knee, and I was rubbing it, and when I got up, I could hardly walk. When I got home, it was all swollen, and I ended up being on crutches for several days. Now it's getting better, but it still does not feel right, which really concerns me, because I was walking probably 5-6 times or days a week, around 3 miles, and I can't do that. And I have no idea what might have happened.
Okay, so let's talk about that. This is a good question. I've got some history with this. So arthritis runs in my family, and as I got around 40, I started to notice that I was getting really stiff joints, really sore. I kind of abused my body most of my life between motocross racing, wrestling, football, and I'm way too small to be playing football, but I did anyway. All the other things that I've done, I've had motorcycle accidents, and I busted my hip, so it was aching all the time. I had a knee problem from a motorcycle accident and wrestling. It was aching all the time. You know, I was to the point where I was eating, you know, painkillers of some sort quite often, way more than I wanted to. And I just thought, well, this is the way life is. That was prior to changing my diet. Now, virtually no pain. And what should happen in our body, if we get an injury, you know, you pull a muscle, twist a joint the wrong way, bang something. I mean, that is truly an injury. It should hurt. We should have pain. And the body will then use inflammation to fix the problem, to repair the damage. And inflammation will create pain. It will create heat. It will create pain. But it should fix the problem, repair the damage, and then the inflammation should go away. What happens, though, with our diet, that there are two fatty acids that are responsible for inflammation, omega-3 and omega-6. Omega-6 creates the inflammation. And that's a good thing. We need that to repair the damage. But once the damage is repaired, then the omega-3s should kick in and reduce or eliminate the inflammation, and the pain should go away. We are so out of balance. We're so heavy, inundated with omega-6. It's in everything. It's in all the cooking oils. It's in all the foods in restaurants. It's in all the processed foods. There are people that believe we should have a 1-to-1 ratio of omega-3 to omega-6 in our diet, and the standard American diet is 25-to-1 omega-6 over omega-3. That's why we're all inflamed. That's why we all have pain. One of the things I have found is, even if I stay keto, and this happens to me when I travel, it's harder to always get that good quality protein that I eat when I'm at home. When I'm at home, it's all grass-fed beef, pastured pork, pastured chicken, wild salmon. When I'm on the road, it's not that easy. I get that. I know what you guys are dealing with, because when I'm on the road, I deal with it. I tend to eat out more when I'm on the road, because I don't have as much time to prepare food all the time. And every time I'm on the road for more than about 2 or 3 weeks, I start noticing the pain coming back. It really is the omega-3 and omega-6. So two things you can do. One is to just try to get as much of the good quality protein and fat as you can when you're on the road. And I realize that's difficult. So this is one of those areas where we do supplement. We would supplement with an omega-3 to try to balance that out. So we have one called Biomeg 3 And that's what I would recommend. And you're still, if you injure something, you're still going to have pain, but that pain should go away after a couple of days. We shouldn't have this constant chronic pain, and the omega-3 will really help that. Now, there are some other things that we could look at. I'm not seeing any real indication of this on your chart. I'm looking at your chart. Food sensitivities can aggravate this as well. So if you were to get your omega-3 in balance and you were still noticing some of this, we might recommend something like the FIT test to see if there are foods you're eating that are causing that inflammation.
Here in a little while, I want to do that anyway. And when I put my first order in, you did not have the Biomega 3. And okay. Last night I made it, I did another order and I ordered the Biomega 3 last night. So
okay.
I will be doing that. Now, some of these, you recommend two with breakfast, two with lunch, and two with dinner. I normally, when I'm on the road, I only eat two meals. Now, I want to say I do eat healthy on the road because I have a grass-fed farm about 30 miles from me, and I typically will grill out hamburgers and steaks and pork sausage and everything before I leave, and then I just warm them up in the microwave, and that's what I eat primarily during the week, grass-fed eggs.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And you'll find that, especially with that, with your diet being clean, a little bit of supplementation and you're going to notice big changes. Again, if you don't, if you're eating that clean and taking the Biomega 3 and we don't see an improvement in inflammation and pain, then the FIT test would be my next recommendation, because more than likely it's some food causing it. There's the music. I've got to get out of here. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time. Be safe, be profitable, be fit and healthy. Always do the hard work and master the journey. Kevin Rutherford. All right, we're going to do a second hour. Let me check questions here real quick. Looks like we'll be able to get some more in. So I'm going to go ahead and get started. If we run out of questions, we'll just quit. That'll give me more time to get ready for my event. But I've got time, so if you want to jump in, now would be your chance. If you've got a question, a comment, a topic, go ahead and press 1 on your phone, and we will get to it. Here we go.
Your money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry.
This is Trucking Business and Beyond, the show that puts the money where it belongs,
back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. Today is Destination Health, so my co-host Kim Cockerham is here with me, and this is the show where we take your calls and answer your questions about everything health. We've been lied to for decades, and it's killing us. We're here to help you find your path and your destination to true health. We'll take your calls and answer your questions about nutrition, diet, food, exercise, training, injury, disease, drugs, you name it. We'll talk about it. All you have to do is pick up the phone. Kim, welcome back.
Glad to be here, Kevin.
Hey, what's this rumor I hear about you loving trees? What's that all about?
Oh, that is so funny. Because I do get flighty sometimes. It was actually an Oregon thing. So, yeah, Brittany and we were driving along, and Brittany and Lisa were in the front seat, and there was a, I forget, they were talking about something, and I was in my own world, and I just love the trees out in Oregon, you know? So I was like, and I just wasn't paying attention to them and blurted out how I just love trees. So when we try to lighten up the mood, but get each other going, Lisa has a whole graphic on loving trees. So it's just, I just love that kind of stuff because you need to laugh. We need to laugh.
That's right. It's good for your adrenals to laugh.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I don't really, well, you know what? I will talk real quick about a couple things. Nothing major. I don't have a lot going on As far as the topic today, we'll see if you want to start with something. One of the things I do want to talk about that I'm excited about, everything we do is about food. I mean, it's about nutrition. That's what the whole program, that's everything we talk about, comes back to food and nutrition. Mm-hmm. It's one of the reasons why I love the whole NTA thing so much. And being an NTP, I've always loved food. I've been cooking since I was like, I got interested in cooking when I was like 14. And I think I've cooked virtually every day. It's how I relax. I love food. I study different cuisines. So it's so cool now to think that's the key to being healthy, just eating really mm-hmm. good food. So it really matches well with what I do. I love being in the kitchen. I love working on recipes. I love all the new skills I've learned as far as fermenting food and going back to the traditional ways of preparing food. And it's so interesting to learn, you know, why foods were either prepared a certain way or why foods were combined in certain ways. And we either don't think about it or we think it was just random or whatever. And when you look at traditional ways of preparing food, nothing was random. There really was a reason for everything. And we didn't even understand it. We didn't have the science then to understand why. I think it was just generation upon generation of trial and error and learning what worked without even understanding the mechanism behind it. Now, today, we just want to know every little reason. Why do you do this and why do you do that? We want testing and we want research, and yet we're willing to put a McDonald's Shamrock Shake down our gullet. Did you happen to see that post I made the other day about the Shamrock Shake?
Oh yeah, and about being Irish. Yeah. It is when you look at what is in that.
35 ingredients. Now, look, I've made milkshakes myself, and it involved ice cream, milk, and some sort of fruit or flavoring. That was it. Two or three ingredients to make a milkshake, not 35. 35 ingredients. There were 103 grams of carbohydrates.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And that's what's so sad. That's just what's sad, and if people don't stop and look at what's in the food and what we're eating, that's what you're getting. And I also love what you brought up about the tradition and that kind of stuff. It made me remember, the Nourishing Traditions cookbook. That is just fascinating. I look and read that and think, you think of the author and all the research, and it's brilliant. And really encourage anybody, if they don't have that, to get it.
You know, something as simple as bone broth.
Mm-hmm,
you know, broth was just a way to use every part of the animal. You know, there was a time when we didn't have grocery stores and you didn't have freezers. And, you know, you had to get as much out of every animal as you could. And we ate and used every part of the animal. And that's where bone broth came from. Now, those people had no idea that bone broth was so nutritious. They couldn't have explained what the collagen and the gelatin and the glutathione and all the other things that develop when you create bone broth. It's a very specific thing to do. And they couldn't have explained all that, but over generations, they realized this kept them healthy. And it's interesting to see fermenting. They fermented food to preserve it because they didn't have refrigerators, and canning is labor intensive and energy intensive. And, you know, so to ferment food, it was a necessity, but they didn't realize how they couldn't have explained why it was so healthy, why it was so good to eat fermented foods. So, you know, going back to those traditional methods of food preparation and making your own cheese and making your own yogurt, making your own beef jerky and, you know, fermenting vegetables. I love all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really enjoying that. And one of the other things that I've been doing, this is kind of my project right now is I've been looking for really good foods, good clean foods, nutritious foods, very nutrient dense, foods that taste really good and that are shelf stable so that we don't have any storage issues in the truck. Food that you can keep in the truck with you. You don't have to worry about refrigeration or freezing them. They're always there. And we've been making those available in our store. Because honestly, what we're seeing is we are seeing this huge explosion of these little companies, these little startup food companies that maybe only produce one product. Now, if I were just to say, okay, you know, here's this food and that food, and here, I would end up trying to give out 15 different websites to go find all this stuff. So we decided if we find a food that really fits all of our criteria, we'll put it in our store. That way our listeners can go to one place, order all this stuff, and have it shipped right to them. So we have the supplements, we have the food items, the snacks, the... And I'm constantly adding and researching and trying recipes. You know, we're looking at doing some freeze-dried foods, looking at doing some dehydrated foods. I am going to start experimenting now with pemmican, which is kind of a what's that?
Is that the Mexican mix?
It's actually pemmican was developed by the Plains Indians in the United States way back when, and it was a way to preserve food, but it was also a food that they would carry with them for long periods of travel, and it's been described. Science isn't even sure why, but there's a claim. All you ate was pemmican, you would never have any nutritional deficiencies. And I have a hard time understanding that. It is nutritious, but there are claims that people can literally survive on this food for long periods of time with nothing else. It was developed by the Plains Indians, again, to preserve the food, but it's a very compact way of carrying really nutrient-dense food. So it was a staple for the Plains Indians. So it's kind of, yeah. So the way it's made, you take meat and you dehydrate the meat to the point that you can turn it into almost a powder. So you dehydrate it enough that if you put it in a food processor or a blender, you can literally pulverize the meat and you almost get the meat down to a powder. Some versions of pemmican also use dried fruits, like dried cherries, dried cranberries, things like that. And again, you need to get them dry enough that you can literally pulverize them down to almost a powder. Then what you do is you take pure rendered fat, like beef tallow or pork lard, and you have this pile of, you know, pulverized, almost powdered meat and dried fruit. And you just melt the fat and then mix in the meat and the fruit. And then you form it into whatever shape you want and let the fat come back to, you know, basically a solid at room temperature. And then you package it up and it has a shelf life of like forever. And it's very calorie dense. So it's a great source of energy. And it's very nutrient dense. So pretty interesting stuff. I'm going to play around making some of that here soon. So I'm going to get to a break. We'll come back and we'll be getting to your calls and questions right after this. Stick around. I'm Kevin Rothberg. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Destination Health. Kim is here with me, and we're talking about traditional foods and traditional ways of preparing food. And I was talking about pemmican. I'm thinking, Kim, I develop a couple really good recipes around pemmican. It'd be a great food to have in the truck.
That's neat. Yeah, I'd love to try it.
Yeah. So one of the companies that I order from, U.S. Wellness Meats, they sell it. I've never ordered it, though. And the problem with that site, you have to order a lot at a time. So I only order from them when I'm really out of a lot of stuff, just because you have to order a big order. But I'm going to play around with it and give it a try. But the store, we have been adding these types of foods to the store, and we're going to continue to add those. So I encourage people to check back. We've got the most amazing beef sticks. Have you tried those yet?
I have a couple right here on my desk because Lisa shares them. Those are incredible.
Those are so good, and they are so crazy healthy. They are 100% grass-fed, grass-finished beef, no preservatives of any kind, no weird garbage, no nitrites. They are fermented, so they have a long shelf life without preservatives, and we just love those things. So those have been flying out of the store. We have the nut butters, the little single-serve nut butters, which I just love when I travel because they're easy to grab and, you know, have a nice nut butter snack while I'm driving. We also have the individual oils. So real high quality, very fresh, good fats, good oils. So macadamia oil, macadamia nut oil, coconut oil, extra virgin olive oil, avocado oil. And the cool thing about those, I use those when I do have to eat out and when I'm going to go to a salad bar. Because at a salad bar, I skip the dressings in the jars, those are junk. And I usually recommend vinegar and oil. But even the oil at a salad bar is going to be suspect. Is it really extra virgin olive oil? Probably not, even if they say it is. And is it rancid? Probably, because they buy in bulk and they leave it out exposed to the light in glass bottles. And that's the cool thing about these little single serve oils. They're in pouches, completely sealed from oxygen, light. They stay very fresh, and you're only using one serving at a time. So they're awesome for eating on salad bars. Then we have the infamous monkey brittle. Oh my God, we cannot keep this stuff in stock, and we can't make it fast enough. We are the only place you can get this. We're not making it. We contract with a company to make it. And we can't keep it in stock. It's going so fast. It's just an amazing, I treat it like dessert. It really is a treat. And I only eat a little bit at a time, but it's really only three ingredients, bananas, raisins, and nuts. And it's turned into a brittle. It tastes like the best crunchy banana bread you've ever had. So that's kind of been my project lately, working on food. So I've been having a lot of fun with that.
I was going to say, that's a good project. That's a good project.
Yeah, I get to taste and sample a lot of stuff. And I will say that just like fuel mileage, you know, the fact that over the years I have tested hundreds and hundreds of fuel mileage products, and we only have a handful that we actually work with and represent. I'm kind of finding the same thing on food. I'm doing a lot of research, but, you know, if somebody puts one ingredient in a food that I don't agree with, like maybe it's got canola oil, I don't care if it's even a little bit. We're not carrying that kind of product. We have really, really high standards on this food. So I'm turning a bunch of stuff away. Some things I try, like I found a line of paleo meals, and I was kind of excited about them. And I tried them, and they are just drop dead awful. Mm. You know, it was a good idea, but the execution was clearly somebody who didn't understand food. So that was a little disappointing, but looking at it, and we'll keep developing stuff, and we'll get it in the store. So you've got one convenient place you can go get everything you need to stay healthy in the truck. So I encourage everybody, head on over to Let's Truck. If you see monkey brittle in stock, you better order it, because it hasn't been lasting for 48 hours. Yesterday we started with 240 bags, and this morning we had 60.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. So what do you say? Anything you want to bring up or talk about? Or
No, I'd call? Love to just, dive into some of the calls because our listeners are the best at what they bring us.
Yeah, let's do that then. All right, let's start off in Minnesota. Carl, welcome to the program.
Thanks for taking my call, Kevin.
What can I help you with today?
Hey, I've been corresponding with Kim for a while here. Mm-hmm. I've been having difficulties personally trying to get all the diet and everything to work for me. I've started recently, I guess probably it's been a little bit over a month now on mm-hmm. doing some of the trying to do some of the digestive support, working with the Hydrozyme and Beta Plus, and honestly, I'm still struggling to try to get things to seem to work like I hear everybody talking about, you know, and getting the good energy and seeming to get the fat digestion going, and I don't know, all that stuff.
Yeah, and I'll ask you a couple of questions, but the good news is I have your symptom burden graph in front of me, and I think I can already tell what's going on. It looks like we're already seeing improvement in digestion. Your digestive symptoms are not all that bad, so I think we're already seeing some improvement there. And that's usually the number one reason why somebody doesn't get results. The second reason, and this is what I'm seeing, if you look at your chart, you are virtually off the charts on adrenal and thyroid. And that is right. The second place that will trip people up. If the adrenals are really, really taxed, if the thyroid is way out of whack, then nothing is going to work right. The adrenals, pituitary, and thyroid are all dealing with hormones, and hormones are incredibly powerful. If we don't get them right, you can just see some really odd results and have a hard time figuring out why. So there's a couple ways we could approach this. The thing with adrenal or hormonal issues is that if we want to know exactly what we should be working on, it requires more testing. And the testing is fairly expensive. And I don't necessarily like to recommend that, because the other option is we could just use trial and error, and it will take a little longer, but it won't cost nearly as much. So what we can do is we can just say, okay, there are some adrenal and thyroid issues. We don't necessarily know what they are, but let's try a couple things and see if we get any improvement. And if we do, then that will lead us down that path. If we don't, we can try something else. I hesitate to do that with thyroid. Thyroid can get really complicated. And there are things that you can do with thyroid that'll actually make things worse. So what I would say is that we focus on the adrenals. We try a 30-day supplement and some lifestyle changes, because adrenals are really affected by lifestyle, and see if we get any improvement. And we might get lucky, and the thyroid might come along with it. If it doesn't, then I probably will recommend a thyroid panel. As much as I hate to just send people out for testing, if you really have to identify what's going on with the thyroid, because there are times where you absolutely need iodine to improve the thyroid, but then there are other thyroid conditions that if you give somebody iodine, it will make it much worse. So that one is a little hard to do with trial and error. But the adrenals we can, and we may get lucky, and we may see some thyroid improvement anyway. So, Kim, do we have the client recommendations for Carl?
I sent over what he's taking because hey, Carl, we're so glad you got him in. Because he is so diligent with this too. And he knows he's done so much with his health before. Was it a couple years before the CMC, Carl, or just before?
Into a couple of CMCs now. And I was going to say, I remember I talked to you originally because, I kind of made up. I started making up my own low-carb diet way back when, and I've dropped a lot of weight from that. And so, that goes back probably, I'm going to say, I've been going lower and lower in carbs and working with that for probably, I'm going to say, 5-ish years now.
That's great. Yeah, he's so diligent. So he knows there's something. It's this close.
Yeah.
That's excellent. And I think the adrenal, hopefully we'll be able to see improvements by addressing the adrenal. And if not, we will have to move on to the thyroid. But let me get to a break. We'll come back. We'll tell you what I would recommend for the next 30 to maybe even 60 days before we think about the thyroid. So let's get to a break. We'll come right back. We'll talk about that. Then we'll get to more of your calls and questions. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Look for Destination Health on the Audio Road Network. And we're going to get back to some calls. Let's head off. Oh, no, I was going to go back and talk to Carl. That's right. So, Carl, I would say that continue with the digestive enzymes, and we're seeing improvements there, but I would continue those at least for another 30 days, and let's recheck. And I would do the ADB5. That is for adrenal support. You may even want to consider upping some of your starchy vegetables a little bit, things like sweet potatoes, carrots, onions. Some things you might be avoiding a little bit because of the carbs, even some berries, little bit of fruit here and there. And what we're looking for is, I don't want to raise carbs a bunch, but we're trying to make sure we get enough nutrition. One of the things we've certainly identified is if you stay keto or if you go really low carb, you've got to balance out the nutrient density of food. So I will eat things like dates for something sweet. If I want something sweet or if I want to sweeten something, I'll use dates because they're nutrient dense. I'll eat a handful of berries here and there, and I'll use sweet potatoes more often. Still keeping my carb count really low, but making every carb count. The ADB5 is going to help. And then lifestyle is also really big with adrenals. And Kim, you've done a lot of work on that. Why don't you cover some of that, you know, lifestyle and adrenals and some of the things we recommend?
Yeah, it's just, you know, we found with some of our highway members too, you know, you got the diet in line, then we look at lifestyle, and that's the hardest thing sometimes for people, you know, to make time in their day in their life for that kind. And we're just finding, like, especially the person that we just posted on Facebook, the graph, you know, the benefits, most of that was lifestyle because their diet was in line. So really putting a focus on the relaxing and the motivating, meditation and the sleep. It's a hard thing because you don't get instant results necessarily for that. But it's one of those things that we should all incorporate into our life period, you know, just across the board, put yourself first and sleep and I know you try to do that a lot, Carl, but it's one of those things that you just don't negotiate with it. Like really, really think that is the thing because your diet is so in line, that just needs to come up farther in the priority of what you do for yourself.
So adrenals are really, really affected by stress and our entire hormonal system. When I talk about the adrenals, the pituitary, the thyroid, they're all run on hormones, and stress will just knock hormones way out of balance because we end up with way too much cortisol, too much adrenaline. That kicks up insulin, and it can just kind of wreak havoc. So really pay attention to how you're dealing with stress. Are you feeling stressed? Are you feeling anxious? Are you, you know, not breathing deeply and not really relaxing? And, you know, it's one thing to meditate, which is absolutely excellent. But most people are only going to meditate 5, 10, maybe 20 minutes a day. And we have to think about the rest of the day. Stop and get in the moment and think, am I relaxed right now? Am I breathing deep? Am I, you know, in the moment, or am I stressed? Am I thinking about the past, thinking about the future, worrying about something, breathing shallow? All those things are a sign that we're in that pathetic mode. And if we stay in that too long, that's what is really taxing on the adrenals.
Right, right. I understand. I know I have issues with stress. I can even feel my whole body tense up sometimes, and I just like have a hard time figuring out exactly how to avoid that response, I guess.
That's a good notice too, with the deep breathing you mentioned, Kevin, because that was huge. I read that in Dr. Mark Hyman's book, is that, you know, five breaths, you know, and he has like five counts of five, and that's huge. Something as simple as that. So the deep breathing is really beneficial.
Yeah, one of the things you can do is set an alarm on your phone, or if you wear one of the wearable fitness devices, Fitbit, things like that, they have alarms. And, you know, maybe 3 or 4 times a day, so maybe every couple hours, have that alarm go off and remind you to just stop what you're doing and take 3 to 5 really deep cleansing breaths. And there's another way you can do it. It's called square breathing. And this was actually developed for people who have full-blown panic attacks, you know, really high levels of anxiety, because it's a way to really calm down quickly. And it's called square breathing because there's 4 steps and it's just like a square. So you breathe in for a certain amount of time. Find what's comfortable for you. Maybe it's 10 seconds, maybe it's 15 seconds. Whatever time you breathe in, let's say you breathe slowly in for 10 seconds, which is actually a long time. You would then hold it for 10 seconds. Then you would exhale for 10 seconds. Then you would hold that for 10 seconds. So if you think about a square and we're starting at the top, you breathe for 30 seconds, which is the line across the top. You hold for 30 seconds, which is the line down. You exhale for 30 seconds, which is the line across the bottom. And then you hold for that same amount of time, which is the line that makes the square. So we call it square breathing. And it really helps, you know, pull down that anxiety and that tension really quickly. And if you do that a couple times a day, it can really make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you meant, you said 10 seconds, right, Kevin? 10 seconds each?
Well, whatever's comfortable. 10 seconds.
Longer, whatever's comfortable. Okay.
Yeah. You know, some people have really good lung capacity and they can breathe really deep. And what you'll find is the more you do this, the more deeply you'll be able to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Might even, you know, extend those times. But in the beginning, just start to inhale really deep and just whatever is comfortable. Let's say it turns out to be 7 seconds. Then all the other steps would be done in 7 seconds as well.
Got it.
That's really cool. I've never heard about that one before. Yeah. The other question that I had was with the, I think, the ADB5 or whichever one that one is. I've done one bottle of that one already, and then I cycled out to the other, the follow-up one. I don't remember what that one's called.
Okay.
For the adrenal. Yeah. Would you recommend me going back to that?
I would because, okay. Yeah, we're still not seeing the results. So normally we, you know, if there are certain supplements, we cycle from one to another. If we're not seeing the results we want, we'll go back until we get them. And I really think what we're going to find here is that this is lifestyle. You're really going to have to focus on that, some relaxation techniques, the breathing, the yoga, the meditation. I really think that's what we're dealing with here.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome, and stay in touch. Thanks, and we get this figured out. Let's see. Let's head off to Pennsylvania. Russ, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Kevin.
What's on your mind today?
I had a blood test sent to you.
All right, let's take a look. Oh, I've already run your numbers, but let's go back and go over. Yeah. So there's a couple things in here I want to talk about. Bridget. All right. So glucose, was this a fasting blood sugar test?
Yeah, 24 hours.
Okay. So it's 132, which is pretty high for fasting. Have you, I don't see A1C. Oh, no, there it is, 6.2. Okay, it was on here. So you've got elevated blood sugar. Are you taking any medication for this?
Nope.
Okay. Tell me about your diet. What's going on there?
Well, I'm trying to do the Bulletproof coffee and one meal, sort of a fasting type. And I haven't done real good at that. I just need to get on something here to get some stuff straightened out.
Okay. So that's the thing. Now, I'm going to go on to cholesterol, but the blood sugar is something you really want to address. Yours isn't horrible, but it's certainly elevated, and you're on that path that if you don't change something, you will become diabetic. You're basically pre-diabetic now. So you've got to change something, and diet is the thing that will clearly fix it. And we'll talk about the cholesterol as well when we get back. Stick around. Be right back. I'm Kevin Robb. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. We're down to the final segment. We're going to get right back to some phone calls. I was talking with Russ in Pennsylvania. So blood sugar clearly could become an issue. You're certainly heading that way. The cholesterol numbers, I'm really, really torn on cholesterol completely because we have so many things wrong. But I'm not surprised by your numbers. When we see somebody with elevated blood sugar, we are almost always going to see somebody with not great cholesterol numbers. Now, I don't worry about the total cholesterol, but I do look at the ratios. And even on the ratios, you're just not doing that great. The good news is we don't do anything to address cholesterol directly. All the same things we would recommend to lower your blood sugar as far as diet goes are all the same things that will fix your cholesterol numbers over time. So are you on a statin, by the way?
Am I what?
Are you on a statin?
I am.
Okay.
I'm not taking it very religiously, though.
Yeah.
Well,
and,
no, I'm on Lisinopril.
Okay.
Which is for blood pressure.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not a statin. I'm surprised your doctor hasn't
put
you on a statin with your cholesterol number.
Well, she's pushing for it real hard.
Okay. And if I were you, I would avoid it. They don't really do any good.
Yep.
All the new research says, wait a minute, cholesterol isn't even the cause of heart disease anyway, so why are we trying to lower it? So that's good. It really does come down to diet. And I'm not even going to recommend any supplements right now, because it seems like you really need to focus and get that diet right. And I think you know that. And diet alone is going to do 90% of the work anyway. If you get your diet right, that's going to bring your blood sugar under control. It's going to get your cholesterol numbers better and the ratios better. And then that last 10%, we could look at some supplementation, but I don't like to recommend it until people are really committed and they get their diet clean. So I would say just, I you already said you're working on it and it's not easy. I get that. It takes time and you don't have to rush. But right now, I think that in a lot of ways, now you could do the digestive supplements. Those help everybody, whether you get your diet clean or not. Getting your digestion better always helps. So you could look at any of the products with the HCL, the stomach acid. So either the Betaine Plus, Hydrazyme, any of those would help. The Beta Plus for gallbladder would help, and the Biodolph 7. I can virtually recommend those to everybody. And even if you don't get your diet clean, they're still going to help you digest your food better. They'll help fix your digestive issues, and you'll get more nutrients. We'd really encourage you to get the diet clean, but you could start those. I just don't recommend addressing any other supplements until we get the diet right. Let's go to... Georgia. Charles, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. Hey, the previous project was eliminating preservatives from my diet, and that's gone really well. I'm really happy with that. Making my own mayonnaise, salad dressing, that sort of thing. I'm probably about 99% preservative free. So 1% is from the odd time I eat out or I'm over at someone's house. The current project is fermented food. You used to talk about that quite a bit. And I have to admit that before the CMC, I kind of tuned out when you talked about nutrition, because I was really focused on, you know, trucking business. And then since CMC, I've been paying a whole lot more attention to nutrition discussions. Yeah. But you haven't mentioned fermented stuff very often lately. When I was on home time last, I started several batches of fermented green beans, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, fermented sauerkraut, and that sort of stuff. And those are waiting for me at home, and so I'd like to taste those when I get back. In the meantime, I've been trying to figure out how to include it in my diet, you know, now while I'm on the road. And I discovered kimchi, or rediscovered kimchi. That's apparently fermented. This brand I'm using is. And I've been using that as an appetizer. I'll have a few bites of that before I start my meal. And I was trying to accomplish two things. One, you talked about having a ritual to get your body ready, get your stomach ready to digest food. And then I was trying to also include a fermented dish. How do you recommend including, how much of fermented food do you recommend each day, and what are some easy ways to start including it in your diet?
Yeah, it's one of those things that it's almost going to be impossible to eat too much of it. So eat as much as you want, because you're just not going to overeat fermented foods. Like you said, I almost use them as condiments. Fermented foods tend to be really strong tasting. They're acidic. So you're not going to sit down and eat a giant bowl of fermented food. I use it more like a condiment. So kimchi, I'd love kimchi. For me, I will eat kimchi as a little bit of a, almost not even a side dish, really just a condiment. And I like it with really fatty meats, because the acid in the fermented food cuts the fat, and that's a really good combination. So use it as a condiment, use it with really fatty foods because they pair well together. And then the other, you know, fermented pickles are awesome for a snack, say a hunk of good raw milk cheese and a fermented pickle. Let's not forget the other fermented foods like kombucha. Kombucha is a great substitute for soda or beer. If you're trying to kick the habit of beer, there are kombuchas that taste almost like beer. So, and it's got the fizzy effervescence. So if you're trying to kick soda or beer, kombucha is a great way to do it. It's fermented, got lots of nutrition. If you can handle dairy and you can get good quality, yogurt and kefir, both count. Those are fermented foods. The beef sticks we have in the store now are fermented. So look around. We're seeing more and more fermented foods. I'm even seeing companies now ferment non-traditional foods. They're taking all kinds of foods and adding probiotics to them in a way that's similar to the benefits you get from fermented food. Like I say, keep them handy. The good news is I'm seeing more and more fermented foods in the grocery stores now, in the refrigerated and health food sections. Making them is easy, so you can certainly make your own. The other way to do it is to add fermented foods to salads. So if you're making a lot of fermented vegetables, asparagus, broccoli, cauliflower, throw that in a salad, just like you would the raw version of those vegetables. So you don't have to just sit down and eat.
That's a good
fermented cauliflower.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, in your salad. It's awesome. Take the brine out of your fermented vegetables, whether it's kimchi or fermented anything, and add some of that to your homemade mayonnaise, and you end up with an awesome salad dressing.
That's a good idea. Okay.
Yeah.
I've been trying to have a chef salad for lunch every day, and add a lot of little stuff to it. You know, some fresh broccoli, forage, you know, some cheese, some ham, fresh onions, that sort of stuff. So fermented vegetables would probably be a good kicker for that.
Yep. And like I say, you're already making homemade mayonnaise, which is usually too thick for a salad dressing. Take and pour in your fermented brine, and you end up with a great tasting salad dressing that's also very highly probiotic. Kim, I'm looking at the clock, and we don't have time for a call. Anything you want to wrap up with?
Yeah, no, this has been a great show, Kevin, and thanks everybody for calling in. Just, you know, continue a little bit, 2 days behind on the music cues right now as far as the requests to go out, but keep sending those in. They usually get out to you in 24 hours, and I love working with you on them.
Absolutely.
Good
That's
luck,
a
Kevin.
Great...
Good luck on your, yeah.
Thank
your NCAA
you.
Talk.
Thank you. Yeah, great point. We always think about that kind of stuff. Head on over to the website and fill out the NutriQ if you haven't done that yet. We're a little behind, but that's okay. We'll get caught up. Lots of people seeing lots of great benefits, and that part of the program is free. We let you fill out the NutriQ free. We'll give you kind of a do-it-yourself plan that you can go off and try on your own, and if it works, fantastic. If you find that you need a little more help, we have a program to help you. So we can cover everybody. Head on over to the website and check it out. Check out the store while you're there. It's letstruck.com. We'll be heading out of here, so we'll have to see you next time. Be safe, be profitable, be fit and healthy. Always do the hard work and master the journey. I'm Kevin Rutherford. All right, everybody, thanks for joining us. And if you're on this call, you will be able to head on over to Facebook if you can at 1 o'clock Pacific time. That's in about an hour and a half. And we'll be doing the Facebook Live event. So hope to see you there. Thanks, everybody.